I'm pulling out of my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time to either drive to work. Okay, one of my ongoing quests is to record a podcast on every episode. I continue that today with Rivals of Ixalan. Okay, so in order to set this up, let me talk a little bit about Ixalan, in order to set up Rivals of Ixalan. So Ixalan was during a portion where we did blocks for two sets, a large and a small set. In fact, this would be the very last set, and we'll get to that, of this model. So Ixalan, the place got inspired because Jenna Helland, who was on the creative team, came up with a cool idea for a world where it had kind of a, I don't know how to say it, like a Mexo-American sort of flavor to it. The idea was, it was a world where the natives dealt with the outsiders, but the outsiders from the new world were vampires. And so Jenna pitched this idea of, it's kind of this conflict between the natives of the world and the outsiders who were vampires that came from, you know, quote unquote, the new world. And so that is where it started. That was the initial pitch. The creative team really liked the world. We hadn't done much with this, like, we like to sort of take influences from different parts of the world. We hadn't done much, even now, we haven't done a lot with South America and Mexico and stuff. So it was something that really was, I think the only thing we had done before that was the Naya Shard of Alara had some influence. We were interested in doing that. They came to me and they said, what do you think? And I said, well, we had done a lot of two-sided conflicts recently. Could we add in a third side? Could we make it a three-sided conflict? And at the time, the thing I was really interested in is, so Richard Garfield made a game called Vampire the Eternal Struggle, originally called Jihad. And in it, he had a mechanic called the Edge. And the way the Edge worked was the Edge was the special thing that was in the game. Whoever had it had an advantage, but players could fight to take it away from each other, meaning it was a singular thing that people fought over. And I thought the Edge was really cool. I thought the Edge was a really neat mechanic. And so I liked the idea of like, well, what if, look, they're fighting over resources. What if this is the resource they're fighting over? And then I asked, could we, instead of doing a two-sided conflict, we had done a bunch of two-sided conflicts, could we do a three-sided conflict? And so they said, sure. And so they came up, I think, with pirates was the idea. We have the natives, we'd have the vampires, and we'd have the pirates. And we had done pirates a little bit. Like, early Magic had dipped. I think there were some pirates in Mercadian Masks. But we really haven't done much with it. For something that has a lot of evocativeness to it, we haven't done a lot with pirates. And so that seemed cool. And it fit the nature of the time we were going for. And there was trope space to play in that we thought was really cool. And so that was the plan. The plan was we were going to do a three-sided conflict. And we were going to use an Edge-inspired mechanic. But then Sean Main was working on, Sean Main was working on the second conspiracy. Sean had created the first conspiracy. It had gone well. So we decided to make a second conspiracy called Conspiracy Take the Crown. And so Sean was playing around with multiplayer mechanics. And one of the ideas that he was interested in was playing around with the Edge. Having a resource that players could fight over. So he came to me and he said, do you mind? I know you were planning to use the Edge in Ixalan. Do you mind if I experimented with it in Conspiracy? And what I said to him is, sure. I go, look, we don't even know if it'll make sense in two-player play. I understand why it could be exciting in multiplayer play. Here's what we should do. Why don't you test your mechanic? And I'll start an exploratory team early. I'll do a little mini team to do some work on a two-sided edge mechanic. Meaning it's an edge, like Vampire the Eternal Struggle was a multiplayer game, so many people were fighting over the edge. So obviously it made sense in a multiplayer segment. I go, let me do a little bit of testing in the two-player. So what I said to Sean was, test that, test some other things. And I said to him, look, if both sets really need it, I'm going to give it to the premier set, the standard legal set. It's just a bigger set, the more people will play with. But I'm willing to, like, you investigate, see how it plays for you. I'll investigate, see how it plays for us. Maybe it won't work out for us and it'll be great for you. Or maybe you'll play and it won't work for you and work for us. You know, let's both experiment with it. So Sean went off and made the Monarch mechanic. I mean, maybe see where the story's going. And I went off and I did a team where we explored with a two-sided mechanic. And what I found was, actually, I thought we made some interesting shapes. I really thought there was some potential there. So I went back to Sean and I said, oh, because I had taught Sean, yeah, experiment with the edge, but also, you know, like maybe you can't have it, so explore other things. So Sean and I come back after a couple months, and Sean says, well, we made the Monarch mechanic. It's really good. It's really good. It's really fun. And I said, well, we did some experimenting as well for Ixalan, and it's also fun. We found some really neat shapes for two-player. It's a little different than what he was doing for multiplayer. And I said to Sean, I go, oh, well, okay, we might want to use this for Ixalan. Like, what did you come up with? What backups did you come up with? And he's like, yeah, we didn't get any backups. He's like, Monarch was by far our best thing, and nothing's close. And so, in the end, Monarch went to Conspiracy. So what it meant was, because the idea at the time was Conspiracy had started before Ixalan. Ixalan hadn't started yet. And so I was scheduled to run Ixalan, to lead Ixalan design. This is slightly before Vision. Vision Design was just on the cusp of starting, but this is before Vision Design happened. And I'll get to that in a second. The idea was that we hadn't started Ixalan yet. Ixalan could figure out something. Like, this really made sense for, it was a really good mechanic, it really worked in Conspiracy, Take the Crown, and it fit thematically in what they wanted the story to be about, which was about people fighting over the crown because the king gets murdered. And so anyway, we ended up, so Ixalan started with the plans that I had, all the stuff I had planned wasn't, like, went out the window. So we had Audible very early. So when we started Ixalan, I really looked at what we had. And they had built out the three different factions, the creative team had. And one of the things I noticed is that the natives of the world rode dinosaurs, because dinosaurs fit a lot in the, a lot of the trope space. Dinosaurs made a lot of sense. The Lost World tropes type stuff made sense there. And so, I looked around, I said, oh, well, there's dinosaurs. I mean, we could do dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are in the set, and there's pirates in the set. And I said, you know what? Both dinosaurs and pirates are really cool things that Magic has had in the past, but we really haven't focused on. In fact, dinosaurs had been somewhat early Magic, like Pygmy Allosaurus and stuff. Even a few early cards had been labeled dinosaur, but we ended up moving away from that. And we said, well, what if we bring dinosaur back in a big way? What if we make a creature type out of it? And pirates, while we had done pirates, we hadn't really, like, what if we made this a typal set? You know, and I thought we could anchor it on pirates and dinosaurs. Pirates and dinosaurs seemed really exciting. And we had vampires already. But once I realized we wanted to make it typal, I realized that we needed at least one more creature type. And so I reached out to the creative team and said, okay, well, let's make this a faction world where we have creature types. And after much discussion, we went around a little bit, we ended up with Merfolk. So the interesting thing was we had four factions. Now, four factions don't easily fit into five colors. But it turns out, because I knew that two of the factions, I wanted to be a little bit bigger than the other two. Nothing wrong with Merfolk or Vampire. I know people like Merfolk and Vampire, but we We had done plenty of Merfolk and Vampire. That wasn't new. Dinosaurs and Pirates were pretty new, even though we'd done a little bit of it. I mean, dinosaurs, we were bringing back the dinosaur mechanic, and Pirates, like I said, other than a little bit in Mercadian Math, we hadn't done a lot with Pirates. So I knew we could blow out Dinosaurs and Pirates. So when I had led Concept Tarkir, early on in Concept Tarkir, we had four factions, not five. The creative team came up with Sultai very late, or months into design, and we ended up auditing to the Wedge. We went to Wedges. But originally, when we had four factions, I'd come up with a system where two of the factions were three color and two of the factions were two color. And after a little bit of adjustment, I think originally we had to shift some stuff around, but in the end, the idea was, okay, we'll make dinosaurs and pirates the threes because more people will want to draft those, and we'll make vampires and merfolk the two color. So we kind of knew we wanted vampires in white black. The whole pitch from Jenna was this like religious order of vampires. Like white black was perfect for them. So we went and we looked and we said, okay, for pirates, we wanted blue, black, and red just made the most sense for pirates. Pirates weren't particularly white or green. So blue, black, and red made the most sense. And for dinosaurs, the best three were green, red, and blue. The problem was we couldn't overlap the two, three colors with more than one color. And the pirates were already blue, red. So the dinosaurs couldn't be blue and red. So we're like, okay, well, clearly the dinosaurs want to be green, which is fine, because green isn't in. And they kind of had to be white, because that's the other color that wasn't there. And so we looked at green, white, blue. We looked at green, white, red. Green, white, red worked out a little bit better for us. And then if we went green, white, red, it allowed the merfolks to be green, blue. And that green, blue merfolks we thought was kind of cool, like of the nature. Like, so we ended up making them green, blue. So anyway, we ended up deciding to go Typal, like the four main things. The one thing that didn't happen that I, in retrospect, was that we didn't really put any Typal glue. We had talked to the creative team about crossing, like, could you have a merfolk that's a pirate? Could you have, maybe there's a merfolk that the pirates got a hold of? Was there any sort of cross? And they said no. Creatively, they're very different factions. They didn't want to have a pirate. They didn't want to have, like, a merfolk pirate or a, they just didn't want that. So, in retrospect, I wish we'd found some secondary way to sort of cross them. It's a Typal set that just doesn't, it has too much definition. You need what we call Typal glue. But anyway, this is a long precursor to get us to Rival of Ixalan. So Rival of Ixalan is a small set. 196 cards, which is, to be fair, more medium-sized than small. And the idea was this would be the continuation of Rise of Ixalan. And it was leaning a lot into the Lost City. In the trope space we were playing, the idea of a Lost City is very big. And so the idea of what if they found a Lost City? That was the idea of sort of the Rivals of Ixalan. The set kind of had one team that did the whole thing, design development all together. Ben Hayes led it. It had Melissa DeTora, Mark Gottlieb, Alexis Jansen, Glenn Jones, Sean Main, Eli Schifrin, who was the rule manager at the time, and Yanni Skolnick. My gut is that not all of them were there all the time. But what happened was, this is around the time we decided we wanted to change from the two things. We were changing from a two block system to a what we called 3-in-1 at the time, which was just three individual sets and a core set. That in each individual set was its own set. And the idea at the time was, we can stay in the same plane if we want to, but each set is a large set drafted by itself, and that whether or not we stay on the same world or not is dictated by the needs of the story and the sets. And then at the same time, we were shifting over from the design and development sort of model to design to the exploratory vision set play design model. And so, anyway, we were shifting over. So the big shift was, we decided when we started doing Guilds of Ravnica and Ravnica Allegiance, I was designing them as one big giant vision design team. In the end, they ended up becoming two separately drafted sets. I think they're always going to be separately drafted sets. That's just the way that we think Ravnica works the best. So this first set that kind of was doing the thing different was going to be Dominaria. Dominaria was originally going to be a large set and a small set. We audibled the small set into the core set. The core set was brought back. And so anyway, we were in the process of making this big changeover. And so Rise of Ixalan was in a weird place where we did the large set before we did the small set. And the small set was like, well, we're not doing this like we did normal sets. We're about to change over. And so it kind of got caught in the middle. It's why Ben ended up sort of running the set for the whole time. And the interesting thing is, it is one of the few sets. I mean, when I first took over as a head designer, I was not on every set. But I soon realized that it was easier for me to be on sets and just keep an eye on what's going on than it was to not be there and kind of constantly check in to understand what was happening, which is, it was way more time efficient to be on the teams. Now, eventually, as we started expanding, I am on all of the, what do you call them? The multiverse, in multiverse teams, you know, the magic, the teams in the magic multiverse. And then I'm on some teams for Universes Beyond. So normally I am on all of the in multiverse and some of the Universes Beyond. There's too many sets for me to be on every set. And then I got Ethan to help me. Ethan sort of oversees a lot of the Universes Beyond, and he and I check in, and I'm still on some of the teams, but Ethan sort of oversees the Universes Beyond stuff, and he and I have regular meetings. So anyway, this is the one set. After a couple years, I decided I just wanted to be on all the sets to monitor them. This is the one set in a long run of sets. I've been on every in multiverse set for a long time. This was the one I was not on, just because I was running, because I was running Ravnica, Guilds of Ravnica and Ravnica Legions together as a giant team. There was a lot of moving parts going on, and we were starting to prep for Dominaria, which had a lot of challenges. Anyway, I was not on this team. I mean, Ben did a great job. I just wasn't on this team. So the idea of Rivals of Ixalan was that we wanted to. We wanted to continue on what we were doing. It's a small set. And one of the things we decided was the small set needed to add something to the mix. Early Magic, we would do a mechanic and just, or two mechanics usually, and then just keep those mechanics all the way through the block. We wouldn't add anything. We just would evolve the mechanics we had. So one of the things that we decided as we advanced was every new set wanted something new. You wanted to sell the set and get people excited for something new. And so we did carryover of things. So Rivals Ixalan was Ixalan. Like I said, it kept the factions. So the pirates and the dinosaurs and the vampires and the merfolk were all there. They were all in the same colors. With the one exception is we did do a cycle of elder dinosaurs that was a full cycle. Only because we recognize how much people love dinosaurs. So we did do a full cycle of dinosaurs. But other than that, dinosaurs were red, green, and white. Pirates were in blue, black, and red. Vampires were white, black, and merfolk were green and blue. So let's talk about the brand new mechanic. Oh, so the set was 196 cards, 70 common, 60 uncommon, 48 rares, 13 mythics, and 5 basic lands. Set came out in January 2018. So the brand new mechanic was a mechanic called Ascend. So the way Ascend works is Ascend says, if you control 10 or more permanents, you get the city's blessing for the rest of the game. So this is what we call a threshold mechanic. What we mean by a threshold mechanic is basically your things turn on if you meet a certain criteria. The original threshold mechanic was Threshold, made by Richard Garfield. And Threshold said, if you have 7 or more cards in your graveyard, these cards turn on, that their threshold ability turns on. So we had talked about wanting to do a threshold on the battlefield. And so this was, Ben and company did that. Because you're counting land, which is kind of free, you don't play land, they ended up choosing to do 10 permanents. I think the reason they chose 10, it's kind of similar to why Richard chose 7 for threshold, is you're going to get there most likely. The game will get to 10 permanent But it happens. It's the kind of thing that you could speed up some. So, like, it's not going to happen early game. It's going to most likely happen by the late game. And how fast you get there has a lot. Like, you have the ability to shape how fast you get there. The other thing they did that was really important, originally when they did it, it was just this on-off thing, which is when you get to 10, you have the city's blessing, and when you're not. And so it created this weird incentive where you wanted to get to 10, but then you didn't want to do anything because you didn't want to lose the city's blessing. Right? It's like, oh, I finally got to 10. Well, I better not attack. If I attack, they'll block and kill my creatures, then I'll be below 10. So they decided to do something that we have since done since this, but this is the first set that did this, is let's do a threshold where the idea is once you reach the threshold, it turns on and it doesn't turn off. And that was at the time a pretty interesting idea that we hadn't done at the time. So the city's blessing says, okay, I need you to get a 10, but once you get to 10, you get the city's blessing, which was sort of a state, I guess, that you're in. We did make a helper card. One of the tokens was a helper card, which said, oh, you know, you have the city's blessing. But basically, it's a state. Once you reach, like, once you jump through the hoop of having 10 permits, that's it. You have the city's blessing. And then no matter what happens, you've been granted the city's blessing. The threshold's merely there to turn on, but then it doesn't turn off. That actually played much better. And it erased a lot of the problem of not wanting to lose anything once you reach the threshold. Like, in the graveyard, with the threshold in the graveyard, well, nothing you're doing, you know, with a few exceptions, nothing's really changing the nature of that too much. I mean, there's a little bit of interaction with the graveyard, but it's a lot, lot less. In play, okay, if you have 10 things, I can kill your creature or whatever. Like, there's ways for me to interact with your permanents in a way. Now, one of the things that can happen is if I'm trying to get a 10 and you see him close to 10, maybe you start killing my things in where you wouldn't normally, you know, you can interact that way, but that felt more upside. So the team did, in fact, mostly a lot of the mechanics carried over, or by some mechanics. We did some double face cards. In Ixalan, we did double face lands. So the way it worked was, however you got the land over, the backside, if you transform the card, the backside was always a land. The reason for that is we really were playing into the exploration theme of Ixalan, one of the tropes we liked a lot. In fact, the explore mechanic came back. So the explore mechanic goes on creatures. A creature will explore. When it does, you look at the top card of your library. If the card is a land, you get to reveal it and put it in your hand. If the card is not a land, I mean, you basically reveal it, I guess, and you put it in the discard pile, and then the creature gets a +1/+1 counter. So the idea is it's similar to Connive, although actually it predates Connive. Connive was influenced by Explore. But the idea essentially is I either get a land or my creature gets bigger. I get something. You know, whenever my creature explores, one of two things happens. That comes from one of the trope spaces we were playing in was exploration. So we liked a lot the idea that as you found things, that the backside of things were lands. Oftentimes the front were also lands, but sometimes it wasn't. And because you had to jump through hoop to get there, we were able to make some pretty exciting backs. Like in Ixalan, one of the backs was like Gaea's Cradle, basically. And so we could do some pretty splashy things. So Transform continued. We had put Raid on the Pirates. Raid was a mechanic that first showed up in Khans of Tarkir for the Mardu, I believe. And that just rewards you for having attacked. We liked the pirates being a little more aggro and aggressive because they're pirates. And so we had used Raid for the Pirates. That continued. And then for the dinosaurs, we had made a brand new mechanic called Enrage. And so Enrage was a mechanic that when damaged, it triggered and did something. Kind of inspired, there's a card actually in Alpha. What's the name of the card in Alpha? I'm picturing it in my head. What's the name of the card? It is Fungusaur. So there's a card, was Fungusaur a dinosaur? Maybe. But Fungusaur was a card in Alpha where if it got damaged but, you know, didn't die, it got a +1/+1 counter. And so I think Enrage was really Fungusaur the mechanic. Fungusaur, I would even argue, is sort of dinosaur-ish, I guess. It's got Saur in it, so I assume it's a dinosaur. So anyway, that got used as well. So most of the things, I mean, the main two mechanics that we had used was Transform, Explore, Raid and Enrage. So all that stuff got carried over. I will say in general, one of the challenges of the Ixalan block was during Morning Tide, when Lorwyn came up, Morning Tide had a lot of complexibility to it. Matt Place, who used to work in R&D, and I had gone to the employee Morning Tide pre-release, and we were watching people drop out because it just was too hard to play. And he and I, out of that meeting, sort of put together what ended up being called New World Order. And the idea was that we needed to make common simpler to allow, like, part of the barrier for entry issue was that common was just a little too complex. And so we did a lot of things to clean up common. I think what happened was we went a little bit too far. I think that Ixalan, the block, one of the side effects was I think we pushed the idea of the simplicity a little harder than we should. And the sort of a lack of typal glue. Ixalan is a really weird setting where the world actually scored well as a world, meaning people creatively liked the world, but the mechanics did not do well. And it wasn't that, but people did like dinosaurs and vampires, and people liked the typal, but the typalness of it really didn't come through. It did a little bit in casual construction, I guess. Less so, like in limited, it was very on rails. The fact that we didn't have typal glue was problematic. And so a lot of the problems of Ixalan just carried over to Rivals of Ixalan. One of the big issues is if the large set has inherent problems, the small set kind of acquires them. And there's only so much you can do in a small set to adjust for the big set. It is, if the big set really does something that's not right, it is hard for a little set to offset for that. And so Rivals definitely struggled a little bit from that. I thought Rivals was, there's a fun design. I like Ascend as a mechanic. But I think it suffered a little bit from trying to follow in the footsteps of some of the flaws of Ixalan. And I co-led Ixalan. So, I mean, the vision for it, or the design for it, I forget whether we had changed over yet. I guess we hadn't. I co-led the design for it, and there were a lot of, looking back on things I would improve, there are some structural things that I definitely had a lot to do with that I will take responsibility for. When I got on the creative team and they really didn't want to mix and match the things, I needed to then find another solution. The solution was not put typal glue in. That was not the correct answer. The correct answer was, okay, we wind up a typal set. How do we do that? And I needed to be a little more responsible about that. Anyway, Rivals of Ixalan, I think, it reinforced, one of the things, like I said, is one of the fun things to do when we're playing around in sort of cultural tropes is find things that people sort of like about it. And it was exciting to play into Velocity. That was fun. I did like Ascend mechanic. And the Ascend mechanic actually was pretty influential because the idea of a threshold where you can cap and lock it and not fall below the threshold was a really interesting idea, one that we would go back to and use again. And so I think Ascend really, it's one of those mechanics that have advanced our technology in a way that was important. And like I said, the world itself, when we went back in Lost City to Ixalan, people really, really liked the world. I think Lost Cities did a better job of capturing, the mechanically was a little better captured than here. I will say I really like Enrage. I thought Enrage played really well. I like Explore, but Explore is really wordy. I think at the time the set wasn't particularly wordy, so we were okay with Explore because Explore was the wordy thing. But Explore is a lot of words. I wish there were some things we do in Magic that it's very funny when we're looking at vocabulary to sort of shorten things. Drawing and messing with the top of the library takes a lot of words to do it, but it's something we do all the time. So that's one of the things that I keep. It's what we call impulse, meaning I look at the top N cards of a library, I take one of them and the rest go on the bottom in random order. I'm just waiting for the day we keyword that. We just use it so much, and it's a lot of words. But anyway, all in all, I think that Rob's Ixalan was a nice set. I think that, like I said, it suffered some of the larger challenges that came from the block that it was in. It really was a fun world, and it's a world I assume we'll go back to. And while the typo stuff is fun, and I do know that any world where we visit, like, we're not going to visit Ixalan and not let you play with, you know, with dinosaurs and such. But I believe that, I don't know, it's one of those sets that I led that I'm like, I really wish I could have, I don't know, added a few elements to it. I think we ended up being a little overly simplistic for a bunch of reasons and little on rails. But anyway, so that, my friends, is Ixalan and Rise of Ixalan. Like I said, the other weird thing for me about this particular set was I was not there for the entire design. I never worked on the set. I play tested. I mean, I had a little bit of, I dipped my toe in a little bit. I mean, I was still head designer, so I needed to have a little knowledge of what was going on. But it was very from outside. And most of the time when I'm talking to you about designs, I was there as it happened. So I have a very good understanding of the evolution of how things happen. So, like, I know a little bit about Ascend Advance, just because I was peeking into the thing. But a lot of the smaller things I don't know. I assume stuff like, you know, the dinosaur cycle is just people love dinosaurs. We make elder dragons. Well, how about elder dinosaurs? Which was a cool idea. So anyway, guys, that is everything I have to say about Rise of Ixalan. Luckily, I've just pulled into work, so that all works out. So we all know what that means. This is the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. See you all next time. Bye-bye.